There we go. So, we are doing the pastoral epistles, which is 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. They were written between 63 and 66, and both of these men were close associates of Paul. So, tonight we're looking at 1st Timothy chapter 4. And we're also going to look at two verses in chapter 5. I have more than once made the point that the people who divided up the Bible didn't necessarily do it exactly right. Then again, depends on who you ask. So
that's what they thought was right at the time.
But the first two verses of chapter five actually belong to the last verses of chapter four. So you'll see how that works out. Now the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from the foods that God created to be received with gratitude by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing should be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, since it's sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed, but have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness, for the training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. In fact, we labor and strive for this because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of everyone, especially those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things, be committed to them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for by doing this you will save both yourself and your hearers. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and with all propriety, the younger women as sisters. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We'd ask you to bless us as we study it and help us to understand it and help me to explain it. In Jesus' name, amen. So you may notice that the last few verses led right into the do not rebuke, and actually that goes with the pay close attention to your life and teaching. But some people say no, it is separate, and they put it in chapter 5 and they make it like a separate tiny little section. I personally believe it actually belongs with the 4, but That's a whole different thing. But at any rate, first Paul predicts apostasy. He tells me that there will be people who will abandon the faith. Now, we have recently started seeing some very interesting things. The guy who founded Hillsong has now decided he doesn't want to be a Christian anymore, and so he left. There are people who have been Christians who are now saying, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. There's a whole class of people that they refer to as ex-evangelicals. There are people who have decided that evangelical Christianity is not for them, and they're going to go out and they're going to try to find the truth on their own. Good luck, guys. Paul says, don't follow spirits and demons. And when you think about it, that kind of makes good sense. And of course, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about spirits from other sources. And he says that the people who are teaching all of this stuff are liars who have seared consciences. Now, there's a debate as to whether or not these seared consciousness keep them from seeing the truth, and so they tell you what they think, or whether they are people who know the truth and tell you a lie, because it's actually to their benefit. We have seen that politically recently. We have seen people who will just lie. They knew better. They had to know better. But they lied. Their consciences are seared because all they want is political power. So watch out for people like that. Now, it was the Gnostics who forbid marriage because they thought that everything that was important was spiritual and not physical. So they didn't want people to get married and have children because that provides more bodies, more physical. And if we could get rid of bodies, then the spiritual would just take over. Sorry, if you run out of bodies, spirits are in the bodies, and if you run out of bodies, you're not going to have any spirits. At least not any good ones. The Jews forbid certain foods. Now, even today, you will see that they will forbid foods. And I have said many times, there's nothing really wrong with this. God gave kosher for the purpose of giving us ways to eat that will not hurt us. If you don't eat shellfish, you can't get red tide and all of these other funguses that can sometimes get in shellfish. If you don't eat fish that do not have scales, like a catfish does not have scales, if you don't eat that, you're not getting stuff that was eaten off of the floor of the lake or wherever it is, or the water or anything, okay? Those fish that have fins, by fins, is we don't have shellfish, and scales means we don't do things that are bottom feeders, which are ones that don't have scales. By avoiding that, we don't get the problems. If you read those animals, you're not supposed to eat. Particularly birds. You can't eat raptors, eagles, falcons, any of those things. You can't eat anything that eats other things. Well, guess what? That's where mad cow disease came from. Was animals eating the remains of other animals, and they ended up with mad cow disease. It's actually called Creutzfeldt something disease, but at any rate, God gave us kosher to teach us how you can absolutely safely eat. You cannot have food poisoning or get something from the food if you eat kosher. Now, you may be allergic to it. Some people are allergic to certain kinds of meat or whatever. But literally, peanuts are kosher, but if you eat it and you have an allergy, then you get you go into anaphylactic shock and you die. So you have to watch out for that. Guess what? They didn't have peanuts in ancient Israel. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, that's why God did these things. He didn't want people eating pigs because they had trichinosis. Now we know what trichinosis is. So we make sure that we cook it thoroughly. We get it to a certain temperature, all of the trichinosis is killed, and we can eat the pork. But that's why God put that in. Everything is good if it's received in God's way. And remember, Jesus said, it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. It's what comes out, what you speak. But that was a change to the original kosher. And then he talks to Timothy about being a good minister of Christ. He tells Timothy that he is to point out all of these things. He's to tell people, don't get tied up in these crazy myths and their various legends and the heresies and all stuff. Don't get tied up in that. Follow the Word of God. He should be nourished by words of faith and good teaching. Okay? Once again, that's how I got to be a minister of God, was by studying the Word of God and by being taught by my father. Okay? And that's why I try to teach people about what the Word of God says and how we should interpret it. He's to train himself in godliness, not silly myths. Physical fitness is good, but spiritual fitness is better, Paul says. We labor and work towards this, for we have put hope in Jesus. And then he talks about the pattern of ministry. Timothy was young and timid. And he tells him, don't let anybody despise you because of your youth. Okay? Now, the way I look at this is very simple. If somebody shows up and he has questions, particularly, or maybe he has suggestions, or he says, this is what I read and this is what I think it means, then the older people should not put him down and despise him. If they think that's not what it means, that's not what, whatever, they should correct him and they should guide him. On the other hand, Pat will tell you, we've had Bible studies and all of a sudden this little kid would sit here and he would ask a question and everybody in the room goes, whoa. And we just kind of stopped for a few minutes because we're thinking, I never thought of that question. But it seems very important. We should figure this out. And so if we said, no, that guy's only 13, 14 years old, then we'd say, oh, don't be asking questions. You're just a silly kid. No, we would not have learned things. There were times when my son, who knew the Bible because I tried to teach it to him as well as I could, was looked down upon because he was not as old as other people. My son Walter has different problems and so on, but he's fixing them up. Everything's getting good. My son Jeremiah has been looked down on, and then he, being Jeremiah and not in the least timid, would just bore forward, and all of a sudden people would find themselves answering for their beliefs that Jeremiah just kind of destroyed. Well, that was good for them because they were headed in the wrong direction. Okay, one of the big ones that Jeremiah got into was the group he was going to, They thought the leading of the Holy Spirit was the most important thing. And Jeremiah would say, yeah, but the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to go a place that the Bible does not send you. So what does the Bible say? And that was a period of time in which I kept getting all these calls going, well, what about this, Dad? They brought this up. What about it? And I would just explain it to him. And his people began to say, wait a minute, where are you getting all of this? And as it happened, these people were kind of a mild version of Pentecostal. And so they referred to him as a Bapticostal because he used the Bible way more than they did. Paul tells him to command and teach the truth. Now that's hard. Military will teach you about hard stuff. All of a sudden, some kid shows up at 23 years old. He just graduated from college, went through 90 days, and he's a second lieutenant. And he outranks all of us. And it's like, okay. But see, some of them knew what they were doing. I had a guy on a submarine I was on. Second, was in the Navy, it's an ensign. Actually, he was a JG because he had gone through nuke school. But he thought he was all there was. Mm-hmm. And he would just run himself through and so on like that. And so one day, the chief and I put him up against the wall and said, look, boy, the last person on this boat you want to make mad is me, because I'll ruin your career and they'll give me a medal for fixing it, okay? Mm-hmm. Dummy went right across the hall, talked to the XO, and we could hear it. I think everybody in the boat could hear it. Mm-hmm. Are you stupid? Do you want to ruin your career? Mm-hmm. And so the next thing I know, I've got a new division officer. And that one walks in and he says, gentlemen, one day I want to be the chief of naval operations. And I thought, oh, Lord, it's another one. And then he said, and the way I do that is by having people who know what they're doing, how to do it, and get it done. And I keep everybody off their back while they're doing it. And I looked over at him and I said, Tenet, we can do this. And we did. I got that guy. I was actually working for a lieutenant commander who was the qualification officer. And so I was doing all of his stuff, qualifying people, right? And so if my guy was getting delinquent, I'd call back aft. You know, usually it was the nuke stuff. Call back aft. Can you get me a first-class machinist made up here? I want to make sure my guy is not delinquent. And he just zoomed. Meanwhile, previous division officer, nobody wanted to work with him. And he was delinquent most of the time. So don't look down on people. And if they're in a position of authority and they're young, help them. He's the overseer, so he has authority. Timothy is. Do not allow others to despise you because you're young. Live as an example and show your calling. You see, Timothy had been called to preach the Word of God, and he did it really well, and he knew it really well. He was given the skill of preaching at ordination. When they ordained him, God put into him the ability to speak the gospel in a way that people understood. He had been commissioned by the leaders of the church. So why should anybody look down on him if the leaders of my church have commissioned him? Do not, but then he tells him, do not rebuke older people, but regard them like your parents. These are people you can learn from. once again, there have been a lot of young preachers that learned a lot of stuff from my dad and other older people. We came through Victorville, California, and I swear to goodness, I used to say, if I ever grow up, I guess maybe according to old guy, I've grown up now that I'm 70. But I said, if I ever grow up, I won't be like Mr. Piper. That's who I want to be. I want people to look at me like that. I don't know if they do, but I mean, I regarded him as a resource to learn. Maybe not the Word of God, because my dad had given me most of that already, but to learn how to interpret it, to learn how to speak it to people without hurting their feelings. And he says, treat those who are younger than you as your siblings, brothers and sisters. And I've tried to do that. I've tried to help. Once again, these are guys who just got to be church planters and they know everything. And so I had limited success trying to help young guys who were coming into church planting. Particularly when they would say, wait a minute, I've got X number of people and you've only got 10 or whatever. But when they would get themselves in a jam, ring, ring, Walt, could you explain something to me? Yeah, okay. So what does this all mean to us? First of all, there will be people who use the church for gain. You know, there are people who go out and they preach, and they will tell you that preachers are worthy of their hire. That's true. It is. Okay? But they shouldn't be looking for it. Okay? If somebody says, we need somebody to preach to us, and we have no money to give you, I used to tell people when I had not gotten into church planting and all this, I used to tell people, I'll pay you to let me preach. When God has called you to preach, you want to preach. It's in there and it's got to come out. Mm-hmm. Avoid people who are using the church for gain. Just stay away from them. Avoid people who are trying to lead you in a way you shouldn't go. And in order to do that, you need to know and teach the scripture. You need to know. And once again, if all you really know is that doesn't sound right, I better call Walt. That's good enough, because I'm not going to steer you wrong. You need to train in spirituality. You need to learn a pattern of prayer. You need to learn how to follow the Lord. You need to get to the point where if you wake up in the morning and you don't read your Bible, it just eats at you until you do, because you want the Word of God in your life. And remember, age is less important than maturity and a call upon somebody's life. Okay? We have people who are older. I'm now becoming some of those. But we also have young people who know stuff. I have known people who have been church planters who have come in, who could answer any question you could give them. And usually the ones who know it all are the least arrogant, because, you know, they know that they are what it was all designed for. We used to say that about pilots in the Air Force. Pilot would never give you a hard time. Never, ever. Because he knew the Air Force was about him. That's it. Okay? So he didn't have to justify himself. He'd just go, can you fly that bird? Then shut up. You know, it's the way it is. Age is not important. Maturity and call is. And if somebody is called by God to an office, we need to assist them as much as we can. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to put this all into practice in our lives. Make us the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming, guys.
That was